Yeah, so today let's look at Acts chapter 2, and as we continue to meditate on the day of Pentecost and the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers, and also what it was in the first days. So when you read Acts chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and remember here the day of Pentecost refers to the festival of the Jews, and this was 50 days after the Passover, and the Bible says when it had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly. You know, the interesting thing about the move of God is that it always happens suddenly, in an instant, just as you are doing the work of obedience. You know, just as they were in the obedience that they were asked, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. They were told not to leave, not to depart. And you can imagine these are people who are now left. Remember, it's like they were left comfortless, left as orphans. Their master has gone. The master who has been with them 3.5 years. Walked with them, taught them, you know, slept in the same place with them. They watched his life. You know, when Jesus told the disciples who came to him, they say, Rabbi, where are you staying? You know, there are people who would ask Jesus, you know, oh, Jesus, give us this miracle. But, you know, Simon, Andrew, you know, they asked Jesus, where are you staying? That means their interest was not in just, you know, to get something from him, but they wanted to dwell with this man. They wanted to understand. They wanted to be under his tutelage. That's why they left everything to follow Jesus. And the question is, where are you staying? So they stayed with him. And he died. He was crucified. He died. He resurrected. Then he appears to them in those period of 40 days, speaking to them things pertaining to the kingdom, giving them commandments through the Holy Spirit. He appears, he encourages them, tells them to still wait, and the Bible tells us that they were all together in one place. There was unity of spirit. They were all together in one accord. They were in prayer, and the Bible says suddenly, in that very moment, in that instant, there came a sound from heaven. You know, God always moves with sound. You know, whenever God comes, he always has the voice. Think about the day, you know, in the garden, the Bible says Adam and Eve had the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. They had the sound. So there is something unique about sounds, and you know, the world knows about this because there are sounds that you hear as believers. And they move you into prayer. They move you into, you know, just noticing the presence of God and being aware of it and conscious. And they need, you know, to sit in his glory, to hear his voice, to dwell in him. Whereas also, in the world also, certain sounds move people to do certain things, be it dancing, be it, you know, how some people in rock and roll movies, concerts, they will just lose their mind and take drugs and commit all kinds of things. It is because of a sound. But this sound was unique in that it was a supernatural sound. They heard it, a sound from heaven. And you can see the supernatural taking place. It's a great encounter that is taking place that is collective, you know, that is happening to every believer who obeyed. Not that God could not have touched those who are not there. God is possible, yes, but remember there are things that he told them to do. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father. You know, Jesus' command was very clear. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper. Another helper meaning another comforter, another advocate, another counselor, another one who stand by, another one who walks alongside you. This is what Jesus promised. And so the promise is being fulfilled. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That you can imagine how a wind, you know, for us who've experienced the cyclones, you know how this the wind sound. all that blowing, and the trees being bent and all that. But this is how God chose to come. This is how the Holy Spirit chose to come. And you can see all the elements. Think about when Elijah was being ministered to. God, told him to go and wait for his voice. He thought God was in the earthquake. He was not there. He thought he was in the fire. He was not there. He thought he was in the wind. He was not there. Until he had the small, still voice. Many times we look for God in the mundane things, in the created things. Yet, with the light of God, we can be able to experience God. We can be able to see God. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and neither can he enter the kingdom of God. So when we start to see these manifestations of the Holy Spirit coming, it is now the point of seeing. Remember, now they are born again, and they are now seeing and sensing the presence of God. And God, each and every day of our lives, if we just are aware of him, the Holy Spirit is so close. And he manifests himself. And the more you sit, the more you reflect on his word, the more you hear his voice, the more you cancel, things that derail, things that enjoy, your flesh enjoys. As long as you pull that away, things, they're not seen, yes, but they have a way of drawing your attention. When the Bible says, those who look after lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There is a mercy that we forsake when we follow after lying vanities, when we fix our eyes on things that are not eternal. The Bible commands us, fix your eyes on what is eternal. Do not look at what is past, what is fading away. And if we look at the things eternal, then our hearts are readied for the coming of our Lord Jesus. No one knows the day or the hour, but you see, suddenly, through obedience, they were partakers of the blessing of God. The wind comes, the sound comes, then the rushing mighty wind, and the Bible says the sound, or is it the wind? The wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were in one house sitting together, and the mighty wind filled the whole house, and then the Bible says appeared to them divided tongues of as of fire. Remember what was John the Baptist? He said, I baptize you with water, but another cometh after me, of whom whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John the Baptist had already identified that Christ is the baptizer. Jesus said, I will go back to the Father, and I will ask the Father to send you another helper, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he will be with you and he will be in you. So Jesus has already told us that the Holy Spirit is coming. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Yes, they may not be able to see him because the Holy Spirit is a spirit. But if we know him, if we have an intimate knowledge of him, if we are taught of who the Holy Spirit is, and we embrace him as a third person of the Trinity, as equal with the Father, equal with Jesus, the Holy Spirit is available on the earth. And this was the request of Jesus. He said that I will ask the Father, and he will give them another helper, another comforter, one who will be with them, one who will be with you to the end of the earth, one who will be with them. The Bible is very keen to tell us that the baptism with the Holy Spirit and its fire was taking place. You can see vividly, the Bible says, tongues of fire divided. Divided. You can imagine, when you can think of the flames. If God can just show you, you can think of they're in this room, they're all praying, worshiping together. Then there's a sound from heaven. Then there's the mighty wind, and then tongues of fire appeared. That means their spiritual eyes were open, And the tongues of fire divided, 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 divided. And for me, it speaks about the division. You know, the Holy Spirit, and this is what I highlighted the other day, is that the Holy Spirit, think of it like the ocean. Think of God like the ocean, the vastness of His Spirit. That if you just take a cup out of the water, that is still water. Out of the ocean, that is still water. If you take a gallon, that is still water. It does not change that it is water. Likewise, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, when He says, I'll pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, even if when God pours out His Spirit on us, He is not exhausted on His end. He is giving us the component that is fully Him, because when you get the water from the cup, it's still water. The water in the ocean is still water. When you get that cup and He fills you with His Spirit, remember, your bodies are fashioned as members of God's house. They are the house of God, the temple of God. That means God made man in the image that could contain His Spirit. Remember, spirits are very particular of where they, you know, they manifest or where they enter, because they want the object that they have to take the shape, their shape. So man was made in the image and likeness of God, and that means he had the image that can partake God. And God comes, He divides the flames. So the flame that is there is divided. That means it's divided and not exhausted. Remember, when we speak about baptism with fire, is this it that is happening? And when there is that division that is taking place, it rests upon all of them. There is no one who is left behind. The Holy Spirit does not limit Himself to anyone who asks of Him. You know, when Jesus teaches on prayer, Luke 11, He says, how much more if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more your Heavenly Father, how much more your Heavenly Father give of those who ask Him, give good gifts of those who ask Him of the Holy Spirit. That means God is always willing. God is more than willing to give of His Spirit to us. It's only that He is limited by men. God is willing. The willingness is not even on the side of man, but it is on the side of God. The more you cry out to Him, the more you submit yourself to Him, the more you humble yourself, the more there is more pouring into that. God pours all His water, all His Spirit into your inner man until you are full to the brim with capacity. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're full of the Spirit and you have the Word of God, then you have the ingredients for creation. Then your words can confess, your words can bring to life. It does not become then human effort, but it becomes effort that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you can see, as the tongues rested on every one of them, the Bible is very keen to tell us the other supernatural thing that happens is that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Just to highlight the aspect of sitting upon Jesus too, on the day of His baptism, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove and rested on Him. That means God was saying, I'm not leaving. I have come to rest on you. Yes, I already am in you. I have regenerated you. But when I come upon, is because I want you to be baptized. I want you to be fully immersed. I want you to be marked. I want you to be empowered. I want your eyes to be open, your ears to be open. I want you to have the fire of the Holy Spirit, the zeal for God. You know, fire represents the zeal for God. It represents the place where someone is passionate about the things of God, about evangelism, about speaking the Word of God. Fire gives you boldness. Fire comes to judge. You know, the Holy Spirit, when He comes as a fire, He comes as a consuming fire. He becomes the Spirit of holiness. Think about when Moses was approaching the burning bush And God tells him, take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. The fire is the fire now in the eyes of Jesus, the glorified Jesus. We read Revelation 1 that his eyes are of a burning flame. That means that his eyes are of a pure heart, and it's purity. Fire purifies. So as they were being baptized by fire, they were being purified. They were being marked. They were being empowered. They were being given the ability to have zeal for the things of God. And you can see the zeal continues and continues. All the apostles, they continued. They served the gospel, and many too died in the process. But God was faithful. God was faithful. God had never forgotten his man, his people, because he died for them. You're the most precious possession of Jesus. Think about when Bartimaeus cries out. He says, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, meaning the Messiah, crying out to the Messiah, have mercy, have mercy. The Holy Spirit is ever willing to come into our lives, to fill us afresh, to empower us, to when we submit to his counsel, we can walk in wisdom. We can walk in abundance. The difference between walking in abundance and missing the mark is just hearing the voice of God, hearing and allowing God to speak through the Holy Spirit to direct your paths. When Jesus said, you shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That means God wants to be involved in the affairs of your life. He baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and with fire to make you an effective witness. And when the fire is awakened, remember, the fire must never go out. In Leviticus 6, 12, verse 13, the sons of Aaron were told, light this fire, but the fire of the altar must never go out. If you look, that it was the burnt offering that was never supposed to go out. That means there's something about a burnt offering that is offered whole, offered as it is, and burnt completely. And the Bible says that fire must never be left out. Why? Because it was burning. It first burns the meat. It burns the fat. Then it remains with the bones and burns that. The Holy Spirit, when he comes as a fire, he empowers you, but he also gives you a passion for the things of God. There is a zeal that will consume you when you submit to the things of God, that to the ordinary man, it will appear like you're mad. It will appear that you don't have priorities, you have misplaced priorities, but the greatest priorities that you can have are the things of God. And when you stay, in the fire, when you stay patient, then your blessings and your answer come from afar. They come from the Lord. They don't come from the north, from the east, or from the west or south, but they come from the Lord. Promotion comes from the Lord. Everything that we need for life and godliness comes from the Lord by his Spirit and by his word. I pray that God gives us continued insight into this and strengthen us and enable us and be with us. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manger. Not much to add. It was praying for God's grace. Grant us the Spirit and to give us the ability to express his glory, to express his might in ways that show that indeed we're filled with the Spirit. We are well positioned, Spirit, and we are well placed not to miss the opportunity to be filled by the Spirit. Be, blessed by his presence. So, it begins with obeying simple instructions and being obedient.
Yeah.
If they had not stayed where they were, as they were told, they would have missed that. They waited, they stayed, and they received the Spirit. And it's amazing, as you read down, you see how the other people from the other tribes were amazed to hear that, oh, is that the people speak Galatian and they're speaking in our tongues now.
Hmm.
God can do what seems impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible, always. So yeah, thanks for that.
Amen. Amen. Yes. I believe what we need is a zeal. What we need is a fire. Many, the fire goes out. And when it goes out, then we lose the passion and we lose the commitment for the things of God. But the Holy Spirit is there to blow that wind, to blow that fire. And that's why the Bible says, do not quench the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is always there to encourage us, to speak to us, to connect to us, to renew our strength, to renew our lives, to depend on you as we look unto you. Your promises are yes and amen. Cleanse our hearts. Forgive us, O God. Purify us, O God. We commit the day before you. May your presence direct our steps. Keep, sustain, watch over us. We want to experience your promises, your favor, and your love, O God. May your name be glorified, exalted, and be lifted up on high. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your hand and power. We bless your name. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.